we got justice, but my life will never be the same.
A Durham musician is sentenced in the shooting death of a 9-year-old boy. WREL was in federal court to see the outburst that delayed the proceeding for hours. And another emotional moment in court caught by our WREL camera as a mother embraces the man who provided the drugs that killed her son. Buckle up for our temperature roller coaster.
Who will feel the 80s before a shot of the coolest air of the season?
Today, a judge sentenced two men charged with murdering this 9-year-old boy to life in prison. Zion Person was on his way to get a snow cone when he was shot to death inside the car. Hello, and thank you for joining us. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Lena Tillett. We all remember this devastating story. WRAL Sarah Kruger joins us live after speaking with Person's family, who says today justice was served. Sarah?
Lena, it was such an emotional day, and a lot of the testimony was really difficult to hear. But afterward, after the sentencing, Zion's family, they all came out here to the courthouse steps. They were hugging and rejoicing. Finally, they feel a little bit of peace.
A release of emotions years in the making.
At peace. My baby got justice. He's not here. I'm going to forever be in pain. But to know that they're going for life definitely makes me happy.
Ashley Ragland is Zion Person's mom. Here, her family had just learned two men convicted of killing her 9-year-old boy were sentenced to life in prison. Zion was shot while going with other family members to get snow cones in August 2019. We later learned it was a case of mistaken identity. Antonio Davenport and Derek Dixon mistook their car for a rival gang's.
Now, guess what? What you doing with you, killing somebody, you took your life in ours and theirs over something simple, stupid.
No cameras were allowed in court, but I sat inside the federal courthouse in Greensboro for roughly 6 hours of proceedings. The sentencing took longer than expected because defendant Antonio Davenport had an outburst. It took multiple court officers to restrain and remove him. When he returned, he was wearing a clear bag over his head. The judge said it was an anti-spit hood because Davenport had also spit on a court official. In court, we learned Davenport is also the suspect in the shooting of another child in Durham. 8 months before Zion was killed, a 14-year-old was shot in a cookout drive-thru. Prosecutors say Davenport pulled the trigger there, too. Assistant United States Attorney Joanna McFadden told the court his criminal career started at age 15 and he would not have stopped. With life in prison, now he will.
And in court today, we heard a lot about gangs and the terror they are imposing in Durham. The judge acknowledged that while he can put away these two men for life, that is really only the tip of the iceberg. And in court here today, he asked the question a lot, what to do about gang violence in Durham. The third and final defendant in this case, Deval Magwood, will be sentenced here in Greensboro tomorrow. Lena.
Sarah Kruger reporting live for us outside the federal courthouse in Greensboro. Thank you. Now, this shooting and the people it impacted is part of our Durham Under Fire documentary. It investigates how local officials are working to address the pervasive issue of gun violence in their city. Watch the documentary and listen to the podcast on WRAL.com.
In another courtroom today, something that doesn't happen very often, forgiveness. Nathan Windham will serve at least 2 years in prison for supplying drugs to an 18-year-old who overdosed. He pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter. Windham and Kevin Cummings made a deal to trade marijuana for heroin in 2018, but Cummings overdosed on the heroin, which was laced with fentanyl. His mother is finding purpose in educating others about the dangers of addiction.
Maybe Kevin's purpose was to come and kind of blow the lid off things for so many people in his orbit, because now we're really actively involved. And, you know, I think that a lot more lives will be saved as a result of that.
In an emotional moment after Windham's plea, Christy Barker Cummings embraced him. She told WRAL she forgives him and believes Windham feels true remorse. He reports to prison on Friday. A shrimp boat pushed ashore by Myrtle Beach by Hurricane Ian was one of the most striking images of the storm's power as it made landfall on the South Carolina coast.
And tonight, that boat is back in the water where it belongs. Chris Levengood is here now to update you on Ian's impact in our state. Chris?
Well, Lena and Gerald, our WREL storm tracker found that boat washed ashore on Myrtle Beach Friday afternoon. You may recall Adam Owens was out there as the boat was sitting on the beach. Well, today, workers waited for some help from high tide before attempting to get the ship back in the water. The Shane and Michelle belongs to Holden Beach Seafood. Crew members were trying to get home before Ian hit, but didn't make it in time because of engine issues. It took a few hours today, but it was eventually freed from the sand and made its way back to deeper water. North Carolina was fortunate when it came to damage from the storm. The National Guard has already left both Carolinas and Georgia in order to have more hands on deck in Florida. So far, the Defense Department says the National Guard has rescued more than 2,100 people and 50 pets. Governor Roy Cooper said at a Council of State meeting today he has offered assistance to Florida in the coming weeks and months as the recovery continues. Now, at that same meeting, Insurance Commissioner Mike Causey said there have been 888 lost claims in the state because of the storms. Those are usually the first claims to come after a storm, and that's a relatively low number compared to previous events. Causey said 377 of them were from coastal properties, and the other 500 were spread out across the rest of the state. Most of the damage in our viewing area has been wind damage to trees, and it's something residents are still cleaning. Raleigh residents can bring more yard waste to the curb as they clean up after Ian. The city upped its limits to 20 paper bags and 10 stick bundles per home. The change is in effect through October 19th. The County Yard Waste Center will also be accepting hurricane debris, too.
All right, Chris, thank you.
The early trend of layoffs happening across the country is starting to hit North Carolina. WREL TechWire's Layoff Watch tracks the number of companies with a North Carolina presence that are beginning to shed jobs. In the last 2 weeks, that has grown to include furniture manufacturers, tech companies, and financial firms. You can read details of the Layoff Watch on WRLTechWire.com. A Franklin County startup says it has a technology to eliminate discarded tires in North Carolina, and it's ready to expand. Governor Cooper toured the recycling plant today south of Franklinton. PRTI owns it. The company says the technology can convert tires into resources like oil, steel, and energy without creating waste. The CEO says they've recycled more than 50 million pounds of tires in the last 5 years. They're now looking to expand to 4 more locations in North Carolina, hoping to reduce tire waste and create clean energy in North Carolina.
When you think about maybe 10 years from now, maybe 5 years from now, when this business is going strong and making such a positive impact, we can say that it started in Franklin County, North Carolina.
PRTI says its eventual goal is to go global with as many as 800 locations worldwide.
Right now, leaders from Wake County Schools are meeting to talk about the future of remote learning days. The district wants to decide how useful those days are for students. District leaders want to make sure teachers are only using remote learning when absolutely necessary. According to state law, the school system is allowed to use up to 5 days for remote learning for emergency situations. A new report ranks the North Carolina School of Science and Math in Durham as the number one high school in America. Also on the list, Raleigh Charter High School, ranking 31st in the country. The report also ranked public school districts in the state, and Chapel Hill, Carrboro City Schools ranked first. Wake County came in 7th. For a look at the full report and the top 5 public schools in our state, go to the education section of WRAL.com.
Boy, that is great news. East Carolina University's Student Government Association wants the school to suspend one of its fraternities for several years. The SGA says it passed a resolution because of recent campus events. There was an alleged drink tampering last month, which led to a sexual assault at the house. Students stood outside the home recently to protest the fraternity. The SGA says the report was the third allegation of drink tampering against that fraternity in the last 3 years.
Wake County employees will soon have dedicated paid leave just to focus on their mental health. Starting next year, people who work for the county will have 2 days of paid leave for wellness activities. They can use it for therapy or preventative care or just to manage stress and anxiety. The new leave policy goes into effect in January. Our WREL Investigates team found nearly 1,000 teacher openings throughout Central North Carolina. Still ahead for us tonight, how some school districts are bringing teachers inside the classroom without ever having them step foot in the school itself. and how they're trying to solve this shortage. Plus, today, Five on Your Side found the state has returned a record amount of unclaimed cash. We'll tell you how you can find out if some of it is yours.
We had Tropical Depression number 12 develop earlier this afternoon, well out in the Atlantic. And this system here, boy, it really looks impressive. This could become 13 later on tonight. We're going to track where both of these will head in the coming days coming up.
Right now, the record fentanyl bust and the miscalculation that let the key suspect slip away. And the big city enlisting businesses to help fight crime by sharing their surveillance video. It's all when we see you back here for Nightly News.
Back now on WREL News. This is a live look at Beaufort through the WREL Live Cam Network. We go to this camera a lot for obvious reasons. It's probably the prettiest camera we have, not to diminish any of the other communities, but I think folks living there would say the same thing. Beaufort's gorgeous. My goodness. You're watching WREL News on YouTube TV, Spectrum, and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device.
Now to the very serious staffing struggles causing problems for every school system in our area. Our WREL Investigates team found nearly 1,000 teacher openings throughout Central North Carolina.
1,000 teachers. WREL's Joe Fisher reports on how school districts are getting creative to staff up the classrooms.
Best part is coming in and seeing the kids every single day. So let's take a look.
Shane Henderson never imagined being at the front of the classroom.
Ears are
listening. After all, he never went to college for teaching.
Hands are
he graduated with a bachelor's in sociology and went to work for the Boys and Girls Club.
Next one.
Ultimately joining Pittsboro Elementary as an instructional assistant.
And I was just thinking about what people in my life had said, like, hey, you could be leading your own room. Sorry, where we put our lunchbox?
So Henderson started teaching first grade while getting certified through ECU's residency program. He's now in his fourth year.
Yes, is education hard? Yes, it is hard. However, you may be the only positive influence that these kids have from the time they get on campus to the time that they leave.
The state reports nearly 8,000 teachers in North Carolina, or 8%, quit education last year, with less than 4,000 graduating with a teaching degree. WREL Investigates found nearly 1,000 openings across Central North Carolina, more than 300 in Wake County, 99 in the Chapel Hill Carborough schools, 76 in Cumberland, 42 in Wilson, and 75 openings in Wayne County. Districts telling WREL the highest need is for exceptional children teachers, ESL, and secondary math and science.
Focus
can be a challenge to staff some of these high needs positions.
Go stop at the black line.
Many districts are using international teachers and retirees to fill the gap. Person County Schools has hired Chicago-based Elevate K-12. Its website says when you can't find an in-person teacher, Elevate Live brings the teacher to you. Person County has hired 6 Elevate teachers at a cost of $376,000 and hired 8 classroom coordinators to facilitate the virtual instruction at school. Longer term planning includes getting more instructional assistants certified to teach.
Part of our more comprehensive plan is to provide an opportunity where instructional assistants can experience a pathway to licensure. And that would be a pathway that we would support financially for them.
Dr. Kelly Batten is assistant superintendent in Chatham County, where they've rolled out an incentive strategy that includes a nearly $4,000 retention bonus, $3,500 recruitment bonus, a $1,000 referral bonus, and more frequent recognition.
Compensation is always something to consider.
ECU's Dr. Art Rouse says better pay and more professional development could keep more teachers in the classroom after a stressful pandemic.
A lot of teachers were spending an enormous amount of time ensuring that students were receiving the appropriate instruction. And the workload, work hours, I think significantly increased.
All right, there you go, putting your foot.
Henderson is staying for the kids.
So being that champion in the kid's life, it makes a world of a difference. Next one says, count on.
His passion still burning despite all the challenges. I'm Joe Fisher, WREL News.
We never forget our best teachers and our favorite teachers. Wilson County Schools even targeting its high school seniors by offering them college scholarships worth $28,000 in exchange for working a minimum of 4 years for the school district after they graduate.
That's a good deal. All right, Five on Your Side is always looking out for your money. And today they learned the state returned $105 million in unclaimed cash and property in the last fiscal year. That's a record, folks. The state has more than $1 billion in unclaimed property and money, and you can find out if some of it's yours and claim it at nccash.com. However, you may not even have to do that. The treasurer's office is using public records now to track down people who are owed money, then sending them a letter telling them they have a claim.
Bottom of the letter, it simply says, if all this information is correct, you don't have to do anything. And about 9 weeks after that, then we will automatically mail you a check. And
now, this mailing program is called NC Cash Match, and it's just a couple years old. If you get one of these notices or checks and you're not sure if it's real, you can contact the state treasurer's office to verify. Obviously, someone sees a letter or a check for $1,000. You think this has to be too good to be true. Check with the state treasurer's
often
office.
Often it is, but in this case, Mike May is joining us again. In the WRL Severe Weather Center, Mike, Ian gone from North Carolina, or is it?
It was trying to come back today, and you probably woke up this morning and say, hey, where are the clouds? At least myself and Kat were, but we ended up with a beautiful day. What was here yesterday was supposed to shift to the south today, and it's now doing that, so the clouds are a little late in arriving, but we ended up with a bonus day, 72, the high out at RDU. Now, tomorrow, this should begin to shift out into the Atlantic, so places like D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, and New York, who have been cool and damp, will begin to improve, and areas at the coast that have been seeing some flooding and heavy surf will see improvement as well. But the clouds have rolled on in, at least here in the Triangle and points northward. You can see them on our North Hills cam, 66. So we got much warmer than the 63 we were forecasting. The dew point right now, 41. And temperatures across the region, 60 at South Hill, 71 in Fayetteville, 63 over toward Goldsboro, 66 over in Durham. Now, our temperatures will be rising in the coming days. We expect about 73, maybe even 75 tomorrow if we have enough sunshine after morning low of 47. 79 on Thursday, that'll be feeling pretty good after 50. And then 82 on Friday. The cold front sweeps on by and a cooler weekend is ahead. So the warmth is not going to last all that long. Now, over the past couple of days, Kat and I have been pointing out two little areas of disturbed weather we were watching. This one earlier today had an 80% chance of developing into a tropical system. Now it's Tropical Depression number 12. Yesterday, this had about a 30% chance. Very disorganized, but all of a sudden, boom, you're seeing a lot of convection or thunderstorm development becoming more organized. And I would not be surprised if at 11 o'clock tonight, this was Tropical Depression number 13, so tune in at that point. We'll let you know. Tropical Depression number 12, not going to be a big ordeal. Top winds are at 35, may become Julia later on tonight and then gradually dissipate, so this would not really impact anybody, but it would become a named storm. And the one over here toward the Caribbean, again, look how organized it looks. This could become number 13 tonight, and the next name after Julia is Carl. This would promptly head into the Caribbean, moving to the west, maybe affect Aruba, Curacao, and Bonaire, just like Bonnie did at the beginning of the season, and perhaps make its way to Central America. We will watch this closely because a lot of the intensity models over the next 36 hours actually have this becoming Carl. So for tonight, we'll see mostly clear sky overnight. Those clouds should gradually dissipate. At least that's the expectation. 47 for us here in Raleigh, 48 Fayetteville, 45 up in Roxborough, 47 South Hill. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny start, partly cloudy in the afternoon. Highs in the 70s, 73 here in Raleigh, 75 in Fayetteville. And your 7 day forecast, there's your warm up Thursday, 79, 82 on Friday. Beautiful weekend ahead, but cooler with upper 60s for highs. And those morning lows could be the coolest we've seen so far this season. Could be some upper 30s by Monday morning in our northern counties. Yeah, you know, we're getting deeper into fall. You expect that, right?
Yeah,
too soon.
That is football weather.
Way too soon
for certain. Thank you, Mike.
I'm not ready for upper 30s, Chris.
No, I'm not either. I don't care about the football weather. Give me the warm stuff all the time.
There you go.
NC State is moving forward from their loss this past weekend. How they plan to get back on track with a win. That plus, the Carolina Hurricanes have been on a tear in the postseason. Can they continue their rampage of goals tonight? We'll preview that game next in sports. There's still a sour taste in the mouths of NC State fans over their loss to Clemson this past weekend. And if the fans feel that way, just imagine how the players themselves feel. This is a team that still believes they can win an ACC championship and can be one of the top teams in the country. They also know that getting there is not an easy road, and it often comes with challenges along the way. The Wolfpack defense is shouldering the blame for Saturday's loss in Death Valley, and now they're ready to show improvement on this week's opponent, Florida State.
What we have to do is make this a learning experience. And I told the kids on Sunday, nobody feels sorry for us right now. And what we have to do is jump back on the horse and ride again. And so we got to get ready. And you know, we're a little bit pissed off. You know, it's going to be a great atmosphere Saturday night. Looking forward to watching the guys bounce back.
Football, that's the way the sport works. You don't know what happens. So in our head, our goal is not gone. We're still fighting for the same goal that we opened the year with.
The Wolfpack will look to get back into the win column this weekend. They're hosting a tough 4-1 Florida State team at home Saturday. Kickoff is scheduled for 8 o'clock at Carter-Finley Stadium in Raleigh. All right, we shouldn't get too excited because it is just the preseason after all, but these Carolina Hurricanes have looked nearly unbeatable for the first four contests of the preseason. Tonight, the Canes are in Buffalo getting ready for their final preseason game, and if it's anything like the others, expect to see many goals. The Canes are averaging 5.5 goals through the first four games, leading to their perfect 4-0 preseason record. Now, the Canes hope to remain perfect in the preseason. They're going to take on the Sabres at 7 o'clock. The regular season begins in a little over a week. Next Wednesday, October 12th, the Canes will host the Columbus Blue Jackets in their regular season opener. That's at PNC Arena. After that game, they'll hit the road for a grueling 5-game West Coast road trip. They'll take on the Sharks on October 14th and finish out that road swing at Seattle, Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver. The team won't return home until October 28th. And by the time October 28th comes around, hopefully they are 6-0, because that's what we want to see.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris. And thank you for joining us. We're just minutes away from NBC Nightly News. Tonight, the botched fentanyl bust. How a suspect found with a record amount of the deadly drug escaped.
And tonight at 7 o'clock on WRAL, right now people are protesting outside of city council, calling on members to stop a development plan. We'll have the very latest. See you at 7.